Good morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the real challenges facing Arizonans. Good morning, folks. Steve Williamson here, sitting across from me as almost ever.
Mike Cosentino here. Good morning. We have picked a topic close to my heart this morning, the three of us, and we have Gary LeMaster, our ever silent yet wonderful research analyst that keeps us...
I'm not so silent.
Not so silent, as a matter of fact. See that?
Good morning, everyone.
Our combination of brain and librarian.
Yeah. That's right. Brain and no brain in some cases.
Oh, my. All right.
I represent that.
The topic today, as Mike is alluding to,
I'll get to
is
it in
about as
a,
as about as broad as you can, and it's about media criticism. In other words, here we are. It's kind of a what would you call that? But we're media looking at what's been going on in the media and television and radio and on the internet this last year, and the amount of lies, distortions, misinformation, I think is pretty much an all-time high. I want to talk about the Ebola coverage of the Ebola epidemic at some point, as a specific example of what happened.
And we're going to talk about 30 more examples.
Yeah, and Mike wants to talk about everything under the universe, and Gary has a complete 10-page history of media era. So
I'm a journalism grad, so I approach
detailed and footnoted.
So I don't know hardly where to start. Let's start maybe with Gary.
Yeah, that's right. Gary's ready.
Gary has this 35-page, actually, list of media errors that he wants to regale us with, most of which, since Mike and I got up late this morning, will be news to us, because we don't remember anything from yesterday.
That's right. But before we get to Gary, really, we want to talk about, there's been so many changes. I think... I had this conversation on New Year's Eve with people, and that is there's been so many changes. And we're talking about in a certain age group, men of a certain age and people of a certain age. It's not the news that anybody remembers. It is so different now. You can't go from hundreds of news organizations to less than a dozen and about six, as Gary's going to tell us.
There are six owners of, primary owners of media that control almost all of it.
And you can't do that without an incredible change in the kind of information that people get, the kind of information you have to make the decisions, to think about the world, to get your worldview, to figure out what's happening in the Middle East, to figure out what's happening down the street in your own neighborhood. None of that. It's all so distorted. Corporate media itself, it starts with this, folks. When news organizations have to make a living, have to make money, news organizations used to be prestigious. Media outlets had news organizations, and they were part of the prestige part. They weren't supposed to make money. In fact, that would be the opposite of what news should do.
When I worked for CBS News in the early late 70, 79, 80. They were already closing their foreign bureaus. And in CBS News, if you walked around CBS News in the back area, there were pictures of Edward R. Murrow on the wall. He was like a saint. He was like the patron saint of CBS News. He had stood up to McCarthy. He had taken truth to power. But they were already cutting back. And they were cutting back all the foreign bureaus. Now, the thing is that after the war, CBS had foreign bureaus everywhere, that is, reporters on the ground reporting things as they happened, talking to locals and stuff. They cut that back and used local stringers, and they would send in a reporter as a crisis. So since the 80s, and that is a really long time ago, it's gotten worse and worse and worse. It's a lot economic. I mean, it was expensive to keep these bureaus.
It was when the owners of CBS discovered ratings. for news, and they started holding newscasts accountable for ratings. And prior to that, they didn't really care. They were the world's greatest news gathering organization.
Right. They considered themselves the pinnacle of television news beyond things. And there were huge fights at a level. I was at a very, very low level at CBS, but there were huge fights among the news executives and the entertainment people and the CBS owners about just what Gary's talking about. Ray, it was already, this is, goes back years and years, there was already a fight to make news entertainment. And it's gotten worse and worse and worse.
Prior to the late 70s, there was a firewall between entertainment and the news gathering organizations and CBS. And that was true of almost all of the media.
They were completely separate promotion things. You didn't move from entertainment to news. News was separate. They had their own libraries. They had their own film and video libraries. They had their own entire system, their own producers. Everybody was independent. And that began to disintegrate even while I was there.
Well, that's it. It doesn't take an MBA to say, if you corporatize news, which they started, as you guys pointed out in the 70s, that you're going to lose truth, because corporations aren't interested in truth. They're interested in making money. So how are you going to get truth out of an organization whose primary function is to make money?
And I'll talk about the Ebola case, the Ebola scare later on. Maybe we'll talk about more general things first.
Sure.
But one of the statistics is before the midterm election, cable and broadcast evening news did 975 segments on Ebola. After the election is over, they did 49. So there are forces going on. First, there's the hysteria, and just Ebola was a real story. Ebola was a real story about an outbreak that occurred in the poorest countries in Africa. Ebola starts, this latest outbreak, in a village that has no running water. There's a dirt road to it. There's no electricity. It starts in 2013. A young boy contracts the disease. It's an area where there's lots of diseases, and it's hard to recognize that it's Ebola or Lassa theater, fever, or it's malaria, and they don't know what it is, and they don't find out about it for months.
Dengue fever.
Yeah.
Explain why it's important that we did the reporting. Why does it matter that we reported so much on Ebola before the election? What's it got to do with the election? Make the connection.
Well, the big thing about it is, first, the Republicans and the right-wing media thought that this is a great thing to get the Obama administration. Obama administration is weak, and they had three things going for them. They had the immigration crisis, which was the kids coming across the border, which once the administration started an education program in Honduras and stuff, is much ameliorated. It's gotten better. And the other thing was Ebola. How the administration would be as responsible for Ebola is not. So when they start fighting Ebola, and it's the World Health Organization, whose budget has been cut deeply because of the financial crisis starting in 2008, the Center for Disease Control, that's the American group, and volunteer groups like, and the most effective is Doctors Without Borders. It's a French group of doctors. They rotated 700 doctors into the area. So the Ebola outbreak breaks out in a place where it's never broken out
before.
Not
just French doctors. From all over the world.
Okay. It started out as a French organization. It's still based in France, but it has doctors, a lot of American doctors.
Yes.
And so it takes them a long time. There are almost no health workers. Sierra Leone, Guinea, and Liberia, civil wars, conflicts, distrust of government. And to fight an epidemic, it's a real story. You need anthropologists who understand what the people do. And one of the problems in this area is that the culture says that you have a responsibility to help anyone who's ill. To have somebody walk away because it's a scary disease that you might get is against their culture norm. The other thing is that they believe that, and whether they're Muslim or Christian or traditional religions in this area, they believe that the body of the victim has to be completely cleaned before burial or he won't have a great afterlife. And they also believe that all the friends and the relatives of the victim have to touch the body to say goodbye. All of these sort of beautiful traditions conspired to create a nightmare of spreading the disease. And
but the point was that it affected the election.
Right. The point was it affected the election.
It made Obama look bad. That was the reason.
The point is that this is a real story. And the New York Times has some brilliant background reporting, some of the other magazines too, of how it sort of got out of control. And it killed about 8,000 people. 8,000 people is terrible. There had been 24 Ebola outbreaks. This one got out of hand. They didn't get on it soon enough because of the remoteness of the area. And so there's a real story there, folks. There's a story of these, everybody from traditional sort of healers who died trying to help people, to the doctors and health people, to the relatives who just tried to be kind to their relatives who died of it. There's a real story there.
It's the only reason it really becomes a story in the U.S., because the U.S. traditionally doesn't much care about what happens in other countries.
Especially diseases in Africa.
Buffalo. Yeah, especially
just
Africa.
It's a big story. Dog bites man.
The only reason it became a story in the U.S. is scaremongering. Every election, the GOP loves to scare people.
And the other thing is,
it's immigrants and it's
really sort of racial and political.
Be very afraid.
It's racial and political. When it's happening in Africa, nobody cares. When you have one guy come over here and land in Dallas with the disease, suddenly there's this massive scare.
As somebody pointed out, more people have been married to Kim Kardashian than have died of Ebola in the U.S.
Or they've even had Ebola in the U.S.
Two people have died of Ebola in the U.S.
Right.
Both of them contacted the disease in West Africa. They were either visitors who visited a sick relative or they were mounted. Everybody else who's contracted the disease, I think there's another six people or so, have been cured. So if you catch the disease and they get it early enough. If you notice the guy in Dallas, his fiance never contacted the disease. None of his relatives ever contacted the disease. Two nurses got it and they were cured.
Right.
Yeah, and that's been the pattern. That's the same pattern in Great Britain and in France. If you can get back to these countries, they do it. And treating Ebola is fairly simple in that you isolate the person with Ebola. Right. The incubation period, people talk about 21 days. More likely it's 10 days. And you can't get the disease unless the person is showing symptoms.
So we're talking about fear.
We're talking about
and
a disease that's extraordinarily,
not to be afraid.
Extraordinarily, deadly, but very, very hard to spread.
Yeah.
Once you have an active, strong public health system, Ebola is the chances of Ebola going anywhere are very small. It's not the flu where somebody coughs and a plane people. If you notice the people who went on the planes with somebody who might have had Ebola, none of them got sick.
Let's get back to the media, because what matters about Ebola is...
Well, we're talking fear tactics.
That's
the actual story. The actual story is in West Africa, but why did it become a major story?
Because of fear. It kept people home. And we want to talk about more fear tactics in the media.
Because the reason that it became an issue is that it was a convenient way to scare people and to make them think that the Obama administration was not doing its job. And, the same thing with the immigration. It happens before every election. And it's what matters is that the media goes along with it. And I'd like to point out one statistic is that George Mason University, along with PolitiFact.com, did a research study and found that the GOP lies three times more often than Democrats. Not only do they lie more often, they tell bigger lies.
Yes.
I mean, it's the bigger the better,
bigger the better.
WMD in Iraq.
Right.
What you're talking about, PolitiFact, and you can argue with PolitiFact here and there, but PolitiFact's dishonest story, dishonest, worst media coverage of the year was about Ebola. And again, let's look at the statistic. 975 stories. We're just talking about broadcast and cable media before the election. And how do you explain, Gary, 49 afterwards?
It's like I said, the election was over, so there's no need for scaring people so much anymore. They already have, you know, taken over the Senate and already had control of the House. The thing is that
so you think it's driven by politics?
Absolutely. And where the media comes in is that the media doesn't do its job of asking the hard questions and telling people the truth. They take, you know, I've got a list of a dozen reasons why the media, you know, continues,
Before you go on, let me just say, there's two things going on. The fact is that Fox News is promoting this 281 stories before the election, but CNN, fighting for ratings, has 335 stories. So you have the right-wing scream machine, the lies, and then you have the media that's complicit because they want to have stories. And I tell you, NPR has some bad stories about this. Time magazine has good stories. It's all over the place between who had good reporting and bad reporting. But I think, talk a little bit, Gary, about the interaction, or Mike, maybe Mike, about the interaction of the media that's really politicized and is going for it, and that drives the other media to follow on. You know, if Fox News is going with this story as the end of the world, then CNN is trying to compete for ratings, and they follow in. How's all this work?
Well, one of the biggest reasons is that the media is, well, number one, is lazy. They don't have enough, as we talked about the cutbacks, they don't have enough people to thoroughly...
Yeah, excuse me. There's a difference between lazy and not having the resources.
It's both, though. It's, okay. There are lazy reporters who just accept things that are told to them and don't take the time. They're in a hurry. That's another...
They don't listen to what the scientists telling them.
Having been in newsrooms, you have no choice. You're on a deadline. They sent you the press release. If you're lucky, you have time for a phone call to verify what's in the press release.
When I was in the newsroom, which is a long time ago, you had to have two verified independent sources before you could go with the story at all. Yeah. Now the immediacy has done away with that. The whole thing is to be first, even if you're not accurate.
That little word is very important. The immediacy is extremely important. And we've heard this from other sources. The 24/7 news cycle and so many news outlets. Don't forget, folks, I'm going back to the changes. You know, we read newspapers, we watch television, we listen to the radio. But you got cable television, you got the internet, and I want to get this up front. We're going to talk about Rupert Murdoch and Roger Ailes. We can't do a media show without mentioning their names and the incredible holdings of News Corp.
What the media critic on Huffington Post said was that
PolitiFact
got it right, and they delineated all the crazy conspiracy theories cunning on the internet, and they delineated a lot of the really bad reporting, but they didn't get the whole story. In the case of Ebola, about the media's role in all this. They didn't focus on the media. They focused on the whack jobs who are out there spreading stuff like Bill Gates has a bio lab in Sierra Leone. It is, you know, really. And so what he said was, you know, you really have to focus on this nexus of how this functions with the media.
Some people think that it started with the OJ, you know, with the helicopter following the white car down that kind of thing. That's where this started. It was so successful. When you had, you know, millions and millions, tens of millions of people fixated on this story, which would have never happened until after the fact. He got arrested, whatever the story wasn't. Anyway, it was this kind of sensational coverage that began the beginning of the end.
Let's say, for example, 60 Minutes. 60 Minutes was the flagship of CBS News, the most prestigious network in terms of news in the world. And CBS News is one of the well, 60 Minutes had one of the worst Benghazi stories ever.
No, it was full of lies.
It was full of lies, and they talked to some guy who just made up stuff, who wasn't even there. They didn't double-check him. And Laura Logan is a extremely paranoid person and very far right-wing. And so what is she doing at CBS News?
She's a CBS reporter.
CBS News. What is she doing there?
A reporter.
Is it somehow they wanted to have a balance because they thought they were too liberal and they hired this she's very beautiful, she's very talented, but her reporting is absolutely terrible, and Gary Saar, she's back doing stories.
I want to see more Amy Goodman's on the news. I don't want these a track. Go ahead.
She was there. She did a story last night with an obvious agenda. I mean, one of the things you can do as a reporter, if you have an agenda, is you can go in and ask questions that lead your interviewee to your agenda, or try to, and you can keep, you know, questioning them. And
how about truth?
Truth doesn't matter. My favorite quote of all time with the news was by Walter Cronkite. I used to work for a CBS affiliate. I got into journalism because of CBS. And Cronkite used to say that my job isn't to tell you what you want to know. My job is to tell you what you need to know.
Yeah,
that's the difference between truth and facts.
He was a really old fashioned newsman. You couldn't go up and say something nice to Walter Cronkite right before I was there. Right before we quit, he didn't want to be bothered. He didn't want to be like a movie star. He didn't want to be a media guy. He wanted to be a newsman.
Yeah,
and you couldn't. No one was allowed on the set, and secondly, he did not want any adulation at all. He, you know, if he was sitting in the cafeteria having lunch, he wanted to sit with his friends and have lunch. He didn't want a bunch of people coming up and telling him how wonderful he was. He's an old-fashioned guy.
In the Associated Press, as soon as a reporter becomes the story, he's off the story, or she's off the story.
Yeah, it's like the coach becoming the story of a basketball team.
They love it. It sells more tickets. Are you kidding? They live for that moment, and that's the opposite, supposed to be the opposite in news. You know, a lot of news organizations, and we can't, if we're going to do an honest show here on the media, the temptation is to beat up on Fox because
they're the worst.
But we're talking about corporate media. We're talking about where it's all
right.
Profit motive. So CNN has its issues it needs to protect.
So why does it bleed over, guys? Just let me ask you this. Why does it bleed over from Fox News, which has a political agenda, willing to twist anything?
It's an immediacy. Got it. We got the question.
But there's a whole lot of reasons, if I could. I can run through them real quick. There's a dozen.
He has 10 sheets of paper.
One is the fact that news media have often chosen sides. Fox News versus MSNBC. You know, newspapers.
Which is a joke, by the way, because Fox News' audience is 50 times bigger than MSNBC's. Right.
But it goes back to newspapers. You know, the Arizona Republic was originally called the Arizona Republican. And so newspapers for generations he chose sides.
They're also owned by the wealthy. All the media is owned by wealthy and the corporations. And doesn't that affect the news? There's almost no program.
The three rich guys sitting around this table that pay for this time so we could can get our opinion.
Go on,
Gary.
If I could go on. Number two is we've already talked about is that it's become infotainment and it's driven by ratings. So the more sensational, the better. Number three is you know, the media now equates equal time with accuracy and fairness. So if I put a Republican and a Democrat on my show and I let them scream at each other, I'm showing, you know, my
nonpartisanship.
I'm not getting at the truth. I'm not getting at any, you know, real meaningful discussion. I'm letting them scream at each other, and I don't challenge them. You know, there was a story recently about Meet the Press where Chuck Todd said he no longer felt like he could ask tough questions of Republicans because they would boycott his show. They wouldn't come on Meet the Press anymore.
That was a big deal.
That's an admission. I wrote an article about it saying it's, you know, rest in peace journalism, because it was a eulogy for journalism
and
an obituary.
I posted on Facebook that he was a whistleblower in the journalism community because he's
I think one of the problems is that the collapse of the Republican, and they used to call them the, what they called the old men, the respectable Republican Party.
Moderate. So it's called
when
moderate.
CBS tries to get a Republican and a right winger in, they get a conspiracy theorist without any kind of ethics. Just because they're an attractive television personality, they don't get a David Brooks or something.
We've already established that they tell three times more lies.
I want to hear his list, but I also want to not gloss over the fact that you have reporters, Chuck Todd, the most respected news organization, 30 years ago,
NBC, yeah,
said, "I can't ask a hard question because my sources won't come back." He said, "I can't ask for truth because my sources will refuse my phone calls." And he's got no choice. Once again, going back to the newsroom,
well,
this is his bread and butter.
Even
if this person's not on the show, he doesn't get a paycheck.
Yeah, Meet the Press, has to have people who watch it. And if he can't get people from across the spectrum, then it weakens his show.
In the old days, they wouldn't have cared. They would have just gone and covered the news.
That's
and
right.
If the Republicans chose not to participate, it's tough for them. If I can finish my list, four is that
we're on page 28.
Too much. Well, I'm on number four. Too much of the news is politically has come down to reporting on the horse race between the two rather than. Between the two parties rather than on the issues themselves.
Yeah.
Number five, news can be biased by just the acceptance of nomenclature or terminology. It's like the debate over abortion changed when the anti-abortion people changed the name of it to pro-life. And the same thing happened with estate taxes being changed to death panel or death taxes, that sort of thing. Once those things come into the common nomenclature, it changes the debate.
Abortion becomes pro-choice. Inheritance tax becomes death tax. The people feel a lot differently about this. Excuse me, I just wanted to reiterate.
In the news media, report it as though there's no. They accept it without question as though there's no difference. Number six, we've already talked about news can be biased by sheer laziness. A reporter doesn't want to take the time to dig something up.
A reporter doesn't have the time.
Or have the time, but it works both ways. Number seven is that we talked about too, is the economic self-interest of the corporate-owned media and the end of firewalls between the news gathering and the operations. Number eight we've talked about is fear of retribution, Chuck Todd,
mm-hmm.
With Meet the Press. Number nine is the cutbacks we talked about. Number 10 is the overwhelming number, sheer number of lies that they tell so many lies. And it's three times as many for the Republicans, but both sides tell lies and there's so many lies that it's an overwhelming task to try to sort out the truth.
It is that.
We even have a Democratic senatorial candidate in Arkansas using the Ebola scare as part of his campaign. So it does happen. It may be 90% Republican, but there are Democrats who use the same tactics.
Yeah.
And we talked about, number 11 is the expediency that I don't have time. I've got to meet a deadline. I want to be first. When you put out a false story, like let's take the Boston bombing, Boston Marathon bombing, they initially, put out photos of two people that were not involved at all. They were completely innocent. And that became the narrative for most of a day before it was proven that they were not. That, if you take the Benghazi story on 60 Minutes, it was a pack of lies, but, that got a lot of airtime. It was a half hour story on 60 Minutes. The retraction took about a minute.
And they took a long time to retract it, and they hired the person who came up with this absolutely a story with visible holes in it from day one and brought her back on. There was no punishment. There was no questions because of something this damagingly wrong.
She was put on a paid sabbatical for 6 months or something. Yeah. You know,
and then they brought her back. And
in my final one, I've talked about this before on the show, is the end of the fairness doctrine. The fairness doctrine used to hold media accountable, the electronic media accountable for serving the public interest, and that especially included telling the truth. It wasn't just about equal time as a lot of people think. It was about serving the public interest. Telling lies and repeating lies is not serving the public interest.
So, Mike, listening to Gary's list, what do you think is what do you think are the most important factors?
Well, the corporate ownership has got to be moved to the top of the list, and the lack of the fairness doctrine, as Gary has pointed out, since 1988, most people still think we have a fairness doctrine. Most people think if you give one party 20 minutes, you have to give the other party 20 minutes, and it's just not true. People pretend to do it, as you pointed out, by having two sides scream at each other, but never asking a hard question, never trying to get to the truth, just by having them both tell their lies at the top of their lungs.
You have to distinguish between equal time and the fairness doctrine.
I want to ask why the perception is, and perception, as we know, is reality. I still think there's a perception that most media, there's still a liberal bias in the media. Why do people still think, even when there is no liberal? I mean, 95% of talk radio is so right wing. It's falling off the coast.
As the comedy guys would say, you know, that reality has a liberal bias. You know, and so
because it's reasonable.
The fact,
anybody
and
that's reasonable
is,
these days has
is
a reasonable.
The real tragedy of the Republican Party kind of going off the deep end, and the lack of scruples, the lack of connection between the people involved. And so Ebola becomes just another tool to scare people. The flood of students across and young people across the border becomes a huge story. And then suddenly after the election, you find that it's dropped to 1/10 of the number. The number of Ebola stories drops 20th of the stories after the election.
97% of scientists say climate change is real and dangerous. I mean, you got every responsible leader worried about the future of the human race. And you got 3% of scientists that will find some problem. And yet these 3% are ruling the media in the United States.
And that's what Gary is talking about with the sort of phony this side and that side. So you have a climate scientist says, you know, that there's climate change, and then you have this guy who says,
well, you have 97%
of equal time to a denier.
You have 97% of people of a profession saying, this is true, this is truth. The media is being irresponsible by giving a voice to the 3%.
As you know, I'm big on studies, academic studies, and there was a study done not too long ago that showed that in 2007 showed that 91% of talk radio, news and information radio, so-called news, is conservative. It's right wing, you know, Rush Limbaugh conservative. And, you know, Limbaugh was in another study was found to be the least reliable news source on the air. And interestingly, when you talk about the liberal bias, the organizations that, were considered, you know, found to be the most reliable were the BBC, The Guardian, both from Britain.
Love the BBC.
And then next in line was NPR and PBS. So, the so-called liberal media were the only ones that were really, reliable. When you got down to Fox News, you know, there's a study that people that watch Fox News know less about current events than people who watch or read no news at all.
And when they did the studies on Ebola, to go back to that, the people who reported very sanely with BBC. And there was no good reporting. Even some PBS shows in the United States were really, really over the top. And I think what Gary's talking about, too, is that on something like climate change, it's a complicated scientific issue. And Ebola was a very complicated scientific issue that takes seriously trained professionals to deal with, and they were dealing with it. But if you go in and you ask a few questions and you run with the story, what we saw a lot of was just people, as Mike was talking about, not taking the time to get the actual facts about Ebola. It's not very infectious. It's very deadly. The chances of it spreading here. They didn't listen to anything. They didn't listen to anything because, one, they wanted to make political points, and, two, they wanted to build their rating.
The best three letters on NPR is BBC. You guys know that NPR broadcasts BBC in a lot of areas, including this one, all night long. And I listen to BBC every day. Go ahead.
I want to amend something I said. When I'm referring to Fox viewers knowing less than somebody that doesn't follow the news at all, I want to distinguish between Fox News Channel, the infotainment network that just promotes the Republican agenda, and the Fox News gathering source like is on KAZM. The radio news arm of Fox is quite reliable, but the Fox News channel on television, on cable news, is a joke.
So media, if the problem were just crazy guys on the internet making up all kinds of stuff, and they're really bad people out there who just make up stuff, who just make up damaging stuff. When they, somebody printed up a phony Obama birth certificate from Africa, from Kenya. Somebody deliberately fabricated it. So on the internet, you have a vast number of fabricators. You have trolls who are really nasty. That's one problem.
And chain emails go along with that.
And chain emails, nasty chain emails. And my thing is, don't believe any of that stuff until you check it. Then you have the biased news sources. And then you have the mainstream media, which doesn't want to seem liberal, even if the facts are kind of what liberals are saying, because liberals didn't have a particular agenda about Ebola. I mean, it's a health crisis, but it was a health crisis in Africa.
So
it's killed so far about 8,000 people.
Yeah, yeah.
It's killed two people in the United States, both of which got it there. Otherwise, it was never the crisis. It was never the crisis.
Right.
And the same way with so many of these stories. And I don't know what you do about that, Mike.
Let's talk about, we got a few minutes left. Let's talk about where these folks go for truth. Where do you go? I mean, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give you my personal list of liberal media. And we're talking now, and it depends. There's so many forms now. And so let me start by saying, unless you're reading some journalist's blog, then you are, or even Gary's blog for that matter, or my blog.
It's a pack of lies.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
The idea,
yeah. We don't want to say
it
that.
It may be lies, but at least it's not lies because it's a corporate, funded thing. He's not trying to protect a flow of revenue because he has to sell stuff.
Protect you guys, we've shortened the 28-page list.
Free Speech TV, Al Jazeera America, folks, if you can afford it, on my television system, I have to pay for it. Some cable companies, it comes free on. Al Jazeera America. I know just saying Al Jazeera freaks people out, but Al Jazeera America is some pretty darn good reporting. Salon, Wired, these are online sources. Mother Jones, Free Speech TV, Free Inquiry, if religion and government is your problem? Gee, what was one of the founding principles of the United States? Well, we don't want to mix religion and government because that's what they do in Europe, and they killed each other way a lot over there. So we're not going to do that, which is, of course, we have some people. That's the first time. Boy, as soon as they get in, the evangelicals want to start. We're a Christian nation, and we're going to base it's worse than folks that want to base their governments on religion.
One of the real problems that we haven't talked about is this whole essence of tribalism.
Where do you get your news from?
My side from, I get it from a whole variety of sources.
Name three.
CNN, Fareed Zakaria, GPS, and Sunday Mornings, fabulous show. Great reporting.
So you named a reporter on CNN.
Right.
Say it
right.
again.
Fareed Zakaria.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You had to say that slow. Yeah,
it
sounded like you coughed.
It's Global Public Square. It's a fabulous new show that really tries to get at the truth.
That's good.
BBC. I still watch the network news and CNN.
You're the one.
I never watch network news anymore.
I still listen to radio, including, you know, what I consider Hey Radio, because I want to know what the other side's talking about.
I do once in a while, too.
I listen to KAZM.
I listen
to NPR.
I get my NASCAR information here.
I read The Republic. I read New York Times. I read The Wall Street Journal. You know, it goes on and on. I don't spend a lot of time with each of them, but I look at all of them.
One of the issues
I wanted to talk about, though, is this whole thing of tribalism, because it benefits the corporate news owners if I can get the two sides, you know, arguing with one another, then that's a sensational news story that can boost my ratings.
Yep.
So that's one of the reasons that the mass media tends to orchestrate the arguments between the two sides, and they've created this, you know, helped create this great divide between the two parties. And the more they can get them arguing, the more they have to report on their 24/7 cycle, and the more sensational it becomes, because you have people saying stupid things.
Right.
When we went to the Open Secrets training down at Walter Cronkite School, they had talks by different reporters who broke in major stories, investigative stories. These guys worked 3 years on a story. They worked 2 years on a story. They had major backing by, like, the Wall Street Journal in one case, and by the Washington Post in another. And doing those deeper stories takes a whole long time. And I was looking at the Ebola story on New York Times. It's just a background story of how it started, how it got away. There's like five guys. It's taken them months to figure out what's going on. And there is a big disjuncture between getting the news out and getting the facts right, right? I mean, that is a major problem.
That is a major problem.
What can be done, Mike?
Well, you have more money, resources. I was told when I started that I had a story I was working on. I didn't have to put a story in the paper that day. I could work on it. I mean, if I, in my judgment, needed more time, I had the time. Now, on the other end of that, the story better be good, and it always was, of course. We're talking about from your local newsroom to the corporate, networks, that's not happening anymore. You don't have that time. If you're a fan of HBO's newsroom, even in there where you have this room full of folks, there's just not enough time. There's just not enough people, not enough resources to say, no, we're going to skip this today.
The big thing is the news consumers need to hold their sources accountable.
Yes.
And they need to, you know, I would recommend factcheck.org and politifact.com and snopes.com. Yeah. If you get an email or some story that seems sensational,
hey,
I highly recommend it.
It
takes 5 minutes to look it up.
Your sainted aunt just sent you this. I think about that Obama's a Muslim and was born in the basement of Kenya. You're saying you're going to take the time to go to Snopes and check that out.
It takes a minute or two to check it out.
Snopes is particularly good for far out crazy stories on the internet and just myths that are being generated.
Yeah, yeah.
But the only thing I would say is there are people who do this and do this deliberately. They put out, they make up stuff.
Absolutely.
The other big thing.
For a political agenda or because they like hurting people or whatever it is.
The other thing
and they're mostly on the right.
Yeah, they are.
You got to break up these organizations. You got to go back to small news organizations. You got to get away from six companies telling you everything, telling you what truth is. Yeah. As if there is no truth anymore. Say this, folks. There's only political truth. There's only one side or the other. You know, we used to believe in some sort of ultimate truth. It wasn't Democrat truth. It wasn't Republican truth. It was truth. Yeah, I don't know.
Listen to the other side sometime. I mean, literally, you know.
I do.
Yeah, you know, that's what you have to do is, understand both sides.
Well, thank you for joining us, folks. All our podcasts are available on vvid.org.
I mean, you can listen to the show again?
Yes, you can listen to the show over and over and over, Mike. And listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 o'clock news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.